Well, amen. So good to see you tonight. Realize that this 22nd Wednesday night is busy with a lot of folks, and that's truly understandable. But we're glad you're here. Thank you, Andrew. You do an awesome job. You can take a guy that's got 10 people behind him, but you get a guy on a guitar, and he leads us in worship. That's an incredible gift that he has, and we bless the gift. Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate so much, Pastor, giving me the honor to just share something of my heart tonight. I've been thinking off and on all day today. I don't know of a place where you get more of the gospel and of the Spirit than you get here. You know, I am told this. Not many preachers can preach and write. There are few. R.T. Kendall being one of them. There's many more. Usually if they're great writers, they're not very good preachers. But if they're great preachers, often they're not all that good a writer. And I said all that to say that you don't have often a man that expounds the word like our pastor and is also a man of the Spirit. I tell you, we're blessed. I don't say that because he's here. And I mean it from the depth of my heart. We pray for him, try to every day. And I'm glad you're here. I hope you're praying for him too. So, Lord, we just ask you tonight to breathe on us your breath. Without you, as you said in your word, we are absolutely nothing. But we're glad, Lord, that a nothing, when a one, number one's put beside it, it makes us a ten. So thank you for your grace, your mercy. And Lord, I just pray out of my own heart, perhaps my own need, that tonight as we share and as we hear and whatever response you want us to give to your word, that you would overshadow us as you did Mary, as you did Jesus on the Mount, as you did Peter with his shadow. Overshadow us with your glory. May the ending of this year be a launching for the next one. That, Lord, that we will see 22, heaven open, and a breath of God on this country like we've never known before. So breathe on us tonight, Lord, we pray, as we speak, as we hear, as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible and turn with me tonight to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Just something on my heart that I want to share with you. And the title of the message is simply, I want to talk to you about the veil of his flesh. And in order to kind of get a handle on that, you sometimes have to go back and work your way to right now to understand the scope of it all. So I'm going to read a section, but I'm only going to use two verses of Scripture. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, the New King James. Therefore, brethren, verse 19, chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness or confidence to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he, Jesus, consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast our confession. Confession means agreement with God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you know, my great temptation is to take off in this, but that wasn't what I felt like the Lord wanted us to talk a little about tonight. It's the first two verses. Therefore, brethren, having confidence to enter the holiest. And we'll talk about that. By a new living way, which he consecrated for us. How did he do it? Through the veil of his flesh. If you go back to the 8th chapter, and I will deal with my first point. In the 8th chapter, verse 4 and 5. 8th chapter, verse 4 and 5, the writer said, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed. He was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, this is what God said to Moses, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So my first point is, let me talk to you about the prophetic shadow of what was to unfold and come in the passage I just read to you. The word pattern is the word topos, the Greek word topos, that means a parable or a model of some reality to come. So you understand, when God downloaded this information to Moses, and he said, now build this tabernacle according to pattern. You can study this in the book of Exodus, chapter 40, 26, others in more detail. In other words, God downloaded a pattern that he wanted us to understand was a prophetic shadow of what was coming. I know you know this, but indulge me for a moment. When God gave word to Moses to build the tabernacle, it didn't look good on the outside, but it was glorious on the inside. So it had three compartments, as you well know. The tabernacle had the outer court, it had the holy place, and the holy of holies. All right? Now, when you get to the third compartment of the tabernacle, called the Holy of Holies, there was a giant curtain that separated everyone but the high priest on the Day of Atonement to enter that Holy of Holies. On that day, the priest would lift up that giant curtain and go in and apply the blood one time a year. So the Holy of Holies, let me talk to you about what was in there. First of all, there was the Ark of the Covenant, as you well know. The Ark of the Covenant had two angels with their wings arched almost together over the lid of the covenant. And then the lid that was on the covenant was made of pure gold. And the lid of that was called the mercy seat. Below the angels, on top of the lid where the mercy seat was, were the presence, the manifested presence of Almighty God. The mercy seat. God talked to Israel from the mercy seat. Aren't you glad he's still talking? Inside the ark, very interesting, inside the Ark of the Covenant, according to Hebrews 9:4, was the Ten Commandments, as you would know. And not only that, there was Aaron's rod that had budded and a golden pot of manna that had been God's provision. All of that was real, but prophetic in its shadow of what was to come. So in order to understand what we just read about the veil of his flesh, you have to understand that when God instructed this, it was a foretelling of something of reality that was coming down the pike, if you will. Actually, it's a picture of Jesus and what he came to do and who he was. Now, I love this passage in Galatians 4:4. The second point I want to talk to you about. In Galatians 4:4, you know, in the fullness of time. The word time is the word chronos, what time it is. That's what you got here. It's not kairos, it's chronos time. What time is it? You look at your watch. That's a chronos time. Chronos time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in the fullness of time. Now listen, we're celebrating Christmas. In Luke chapter 1, as you would know, and Pastor been doing an incredible job with this series, and then the Christmas series has just been wonderful. But in verse 34 and 5, the angel Gabriel had showed up to the little virgin, Mary, and said, "You're going to have a son." She said, "How can that be? I don't know a man." Well, this is what he said to her. This is what the angel said. Heaven sent a message to the little maiden and said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will become pregnant by the Spirit, and the seed of God will be planted in you." Now, remember, she was a virgin. She had to be. Had Adam put the seed of Adam in that little girl, then you and I'd still be lost, because the fall of Adam was on all men. So God, you know what God did? He's so smart. He stepped around Adam. Now Eve, she still had the fallen nature from Adam, but she don't pass it on like we do. Okay? Sorry, ladies, but men pass on the fallen nature. So what did God do? He stepped around Adam and caused a virgin to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, so the seed of God was planted in a little virgin called Mary. Isn't that good news? I mean, God's working out a plan. Let me show you something that in John, if you want to go over that with me real quick, in John chapter 1 that fires me up. In John chapter 1, the first five verses, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, the Word. All things that you now see came into being when God spoke. When He spoke, He released the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before Jesus was Jesus, He was the Word." Okay? "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Now, here's what fires me up. In Him was life. In the Word, in Him was life, and the life, watch this, was the light of men. And look at the next verse. "And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend the light." That means when darkness comes, it's in an absence of light. So, you can't have darkness and light. Now, there's a natural dimension of that. I've never seen pure light. It's only in Him. But His life, the Word, Jesus, is the light of men. So when darkness comes, what's the answer? Turn up the light. I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out the problem with darkness is that it only comes where there's an absence of light. So in America, the darkness that's trying to take over, what's the answer? The Church of Jesus Christ, turn up the light and let the life of God begin to live in us like never before, so the light begins to drive the darkness back. Therein lies the answer. Simple, but that's the truth. Because in verse 14 it says, "And the Word became," what's the next word? "Flesh." Took on a human suit. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It looked like God to us," said John, "the only begotten of the Father." Now notice this, "full of grace and truth." Now that's very important that John said, "We saw Him, and when we saw Him, we saw the glory of God on Him." But he lived His life, the scripture said in 14, "full of grace and truth." How many of you know that a bird can't fly, a dove can't fly without two wings? It's got one wing, it's going around and around and around. There's people out there expounding the truth, but they're meaner than a dog. Come on now. I mean, they can point that finger at you, and there's people out there that are really into the grace thing. It's a God thing. But it's out of balance because you got to balance grace with truth. Grace and truth go together. If you put the two together, the bird will fly. The dove will fly again. So when they saw Jesus, they said He looked like God to us. He had a glory on him, and his glory was full of grace and truth. Wow. Can you imagine? Well, you know, I've often said, Lord, I'd love to live back then. But if I'd have lived back then, I might have lived somewhere else Jesus wasn't. Because he never traveled over 200 miles from where he was born. But I have him here tonight. My natural senses, my five senses don't pick up that, but my heart does. And I know that tonight he's more real because he's up here and back there and next door all at the same time because he's omnipresent. Isn't that wonderful to have the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee among us tonight? And he is. Okay, let me deal with one more. When he took on flesh, there was now, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, and I wish we had time to just deal with every one of these, but we don't. In verse 45, Paul talked about the two Adams. Remember now, Jesus came by a virgin, was conceived, took on flesh. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 45, there was the first Adam who was of flesh. First Adam was of dust. Second Adam came from heaven. In other words, the seed of God was planted in the little virgin. All right? So now you have a second Adam on earth. Now, how many of you know a second Adam, he now has come to represent fallen man. You know, the purpose of the Lord's coming was not just to show us that God loved us. That was certainly part of it. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem Adam's fallen race, and in doing that, he had to reveal who God is, which is God is love. So I thought about when the second Adam showed up. Can you imagine that day in Bethlehem? That I don't think Mary nor Joseph had the idea when they heard the baby cry that there was Messiah. They knew something supernatural. But Messiah was in that manger. The one that would die on a cross and live again to live in them. Can you imagine? But Jesus never catered to that. Even at the cross, if you remember, he said to John, "Behold your mother. Take care of mama." I am her son, but one day I'll be her savior. And so the word together grabs me when I look at what's beyond the veil. And so I decided I couldn't do it with, you know, it'd be a long time, you know, together. And you don't want to be that long. But I thought, okay, let's go to the book of Ephesians and see how Paul, and I'll do it real quick, understood the word together. Because the second Adam is now together with, now listen, with fallen man, yet without the fallen nature. Fully God, fully human, walking on planet earth. John said, I saw his glory, and it was full of grace and truth. But he didn't have the fallen nature as Adam did. Now, so, And I won't preach on each one of these. I just want to look at them. Look at chapter 2 of Ephesians. Look at verse 5. And when we were dead in our trespasses. How many know you were? I said this to a lady one time in our church. I said, you know, you weren't born good. She didn't like that at all. I mean, she kind of, you know, rubbing the cat's hair the wrong way. But anyway, she didn't like that at all. There's none righteous, no, not one. I didn't say that. God did. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Okay, notice what he said. And when we were dead in trespasses. Okay, watch this now. When we were, he made us alive together. Together with whom? Some religious organization? No, with Christ himself. While I was lost, he made me alive. Now watch this. Together with Jesus. Now I know this kind of rocks my world too. The Bible said, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, that's in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I believe it is. That means that if you are a believer, when God sees you, he sees the righteousness of his Son in you. I remember, I believe it was Peter Lord. I heard the tape. It was just an audio, but I heard the tape down at a mega church down in Birmingham. And some lady, I don't know, he just called her up. And he starts interviewing her on the tape. This is what he said to her. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. He said, let me ask you a question. How righteous are you? You could tell she was thinking. Well, thinking about she said the wrong word to that waiter at the restaurant today, or whatever. And about all she could come up with is about 90%. Now, how many of you know, let's follow it this way. How many of you know, okay, you died and you're going to heaven and you get there and 90% of you, what are we going to do the rest of that stuff? Come on now. You mean to tell me that 10% is going to be unrighteous in heaven? No. The only people that walk into the celestial city are 100% righteous men and women. It is not my righteousness, it's his. And that's what happened to you the moment you got saved. That's good news. I mean, you go, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. We're not talking about perfection and performance. We're talking about vertical relationship with God in his Son. Wow. I mean, to me, he made us alive together. Let me hurry. Verse 6. Not only did he save us by his grace, look at verse 6, and raised us up together. Come on now. I mean, it's hard not to get, fired up about this. I'll just be honest with you. If I was Brother Henry, I'd probably be running by now. But anyway, since I got a knee replacement, I quit that. But anyway, how many of you know that the day he died at the cross and they put him in the grave behind the stone, they put you back there too. Your old life, you're cussing, you're drinking, you swear, you fill in the blank. You were buried. I was buried. The scripture says it. I'm reading it right here. And raised us up together on the third day when the angel rolled the stone away and Jesus walked out. You walked out with him. Do you understand that? You walked out with him. You've been raised with him as a believer. Praise God. No wonder they call it good news. It's like the little boy. I mean, I told you this. Brother Alton Parrish told me this years ago. As a little boy, it was Christmas time. And, I grew up around. We didn't go to church much in my early days. But a little white building stuck out in the community. And usually had a path, not a bat. I mean, it was that kind of church building. Just had a front porch light and between Sunday school and church, the men stood out on the front porch and smoked and waited on worship to start. Because we didn't call it worship, we called it the song service. So anyway, it was their Christmas play. And Christmas would come, they'd string a wire across and put bed sheets or something, as a curtain. And, the angels, you did the whole nine yards. We did that. It was so much fun. The little boy, he's about 5-year-old little boy, he wanted to be in it, so I gave him a part. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. That's all they'd say. He could say that. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. And he could say it with fervor. They loved it. He was doing it well. Sunday night came when they did the Christmas play. We stepped up behind that bed sheet and saw Grandma and Grandpa and his uncles and all them people out there. Spirit of fear came on him. And he forgot his lines. They said he just stood there for a minute. Then he smiled real big and he said, Boy, have I got good news for y'all. Isn't that what God sent from heaven? Boy, have I got some good news for y'all. When he got up, you got up with him. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20, same chapter. Look at verse 20 real quick. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom, watch this, the whole building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, together means God's working to do something. You know what it is? Fit us together. You don't have to be like somebody else. Be you. If God wanted to use, he'd have made them. It's you. You are uniquely yourself, but we fit into. I love this other passage in chapter 4. Look at verse 16. I wish we had a little time here on this one, but look at it. He talks about the fivefold ministry in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's church life. God never called you to sit sour, doubt, and do without. God called you and me to engage. I get fitted in. I fit in. I go, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, you could start and say, you know, Pastor, in bathrooms, I'll take care of. Because I remember when I got saved. You and I got saved one Sunday morning. Your sister got saved. I got saved. Well, you know, I don't know much. I didn't know anything. I mean, I had a Bible. But I didn't read it. But I mean, I was going to hell. It didn't matter. I mean, you know. I mean, you know, there's not a hell number one and a hell number two. If you're going, you're going. And I was lost as a goose in a fog. And then I got saved. I get saved. I mean, June and I got, and her sister got saved. We don't know how to be saved. We just are. We've been born again. We know our sins are forgiven. We know that we're children of God. Okay. Well, you know, I thought, you know, in church, if you go into church, you don't just sit, you do something. So I go to the people, I go, you ever need anything done, just ask me, I'll do it. They didn't believe in eternal security except when it came to jobs. You got one, you never got rid of it. It was a Methodist church. And I remember, first thing, they put me on the official board. Well, that's good. One time they said, we need somebody to mow the cemetery. Had a big old commuter that said, somebody to mow it. I said, I'll do it. Every time they'd want somebody, I said, I'll do it. I remember one time they wanted somebody to teach the old women's Sunday school class. I said, I'll do it. My mama was in there. She thought I was Billy Graham. I mean, every time he wanted something, I said, I'd do it. One day, God said, I need somebody that'll preach the gospel around the world. And I see that hand. Go get June. Saddle up, honey. I'm going to send you around the world. Can I tell you that that's in the Bible? Isaiah, read about it, the sixth chapter. Who'll go for me? I said, I'll go. Here am I, send me. All you got to do is just say, Lord, here I am. Because together I'm fitting in. And that fitting in, we are fitted together, growing up into the fullness of Christ. I'm going to tell you, I need you. I'll never be what God wants me to be without you. People often say, you know, do you have to go to church to be saved? I say, no. But I believe saved people want to go. Now, there may be seasons they got struggles, etc. Because every time I meet you, you got something about God and from God that I need in my life. Wow. That's what I call together. Together, together. Well, let me do one more. I wasn't going to preach that, but I lied, didn't I? Look at in the 16th verse when he said, we're growing up And we're growing up into his fullness by, now watch this, by that which every joint supplies. Now, come on now, joint's not marijuana. So don't think I'm advocating medicinal marijuana. I'm telling you, a joint is what connects this hand to this arm, to this part of the arm, and to the shoulder, because this arm, this hand would not work without its joint connected. Is that not the body of Christ? This hand can't pick up anything without a connection to this part. I love that. I love that picture of the body of Christ. That which every joint supplies. And it all is related back to what the writer of Hebrews said when he talked about beyond the veil of his flesh. Now let me show you something, and this is my last point here. When you got saved, when I got saved, I didn't know what happened to me. I don't know I got saved because I went to work next Monday morning and told some old cussing, drinking, fighting fellas I worked with, I got saved. You know what he said? Got religion. I didn't get religion. I got related. So I didn't know. But here's what I found out. The more I knew of what happened to me, the more I could live in what happened to me. Do you get that? The more you know of what happened to you, the more you can live in what happened to you. I mean, it was like this couple on a cruise. They bought their ticket and ate cheese and crackers. And when the cruise was over, they didn't realize when they got their ticket, everything was included. There's too many saints eating cheese and crackers when filet mignon's on the table. Because you can't live in what you don't know, just like you can't come back from somewhere you hadn't been. So God is so good. He is so good. But when you got saved, now watch this, you step behind the veil into him. Do you understand? You stepped into him. So right now, if you are a believer, you are wall to wall Jesus. Come on now. Is that not right? I mean, you're wall to wall. You stepped into him. You didn't get religion. You didn't just start the church. You didn't just start to read your Bible. You stepped in behind the veil where the glory of God is, and everything Jesus died to give you is now available to you. Hallelujah. That's all beyond the veil. Now, excuse me for getting excited about this, but bless God, when you were as lost as you could be, and now you're saved and going to heaven, and I get to reading about it. And you know, at my age, I'll be honest with you, at my age, I find things happening to me. I'll just be reading the scripture, and it gets real to me, and I just get crying. I can't quit crying because I don't know when I read it before, but all of a sudden, it's real to me. Hallelujah! This is real! Hey, you know, this book is not just for putting birthdays and anniversaries and who married who. This is to live by. Because go back and look at it with me. Verse 20 now. We're going to wind down. Look at verse 20. This is Hebrews 10, 20. We now have a new and living way. This is different. We don't have to live like we. How many of you know when you stepped into Jesus, come on now, you didn't bring the old life. Come on now. When you stepped into Jesus, you stepped out of the old life into a new and living way. Now we're in the process of learning how to live in him. That's what Christianity is. It's not about this stuff that we come up with. Can I do this and go to heaven? Can I do this? Why don't we fall in love with Jesus and his word and just simply do what the word of God says? Now, what happened when you stepped in there? Well, I love familiar passages. I love this passage, don't you, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be, where? In. I'm in. You go, well, what if you don't make heaven? I'll start revival in hell. and the devil knows that. You are in him. Do you understand? Do you understand that you're in him? You have stepped behind a veil that has the Shekinah glory of God on the mercy seat. And now, do you realize you stepped into a person, into Christ? You belong to him. If any man be in Christ, I love it. When you stepped in there, what you stepped into got in you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. God didn't come to patch up the old man. Come on now. He came to kill you. The old man. Come on now. So that you can live the new man. I've been crucified with Christ. I think I did. You stepped in here into him, but he stepped into you. Christ in you. So we got this two things. I'm in him and he's in me. That's what it means to be a believer. I'm sharing. I'm carrying Jesus around. He's living in me. Do you understand? He's in here. That's not some philosophy. That's a fact. Jesus lives in here like he does you. But then you're in him too. I'm in him. He's in me. Whoa. What a relationship. See, that's what's behind the veil. That's about the baby in Bethlehem. He's always wanted a family. So the scripture says we become new people. I love, I'm not trying to get all of this in because we couldn't do that. I love the passage in Colossians 2:10. In him I'm complete. Now come on now. When I stepped into him, I will never be any more complete than I am right now. I can't add anything to do with my salvation. It is complete. That doesn't mean I'm grown up. I'm a baby in Christ and I'm growing unto adulthood, but I am complete in him. If you could, when you got saved, when you stepped in him, if you could go down to the medical center and empty the hospital, go to the jails and get everybody saved so there's nobody in a jail in the Quad Cities, there's nobody sick in the hospital, you wouldn't be any more complete than you are when you stepped into him. Come on now. We are always trying to get God to love us because we did this and we did that. Listen, he's in love with you. You're complete in him. Well, Romans 8 talks about if we're in him, then we're children. God don't have any stepkids. And you know, God don't have cousins. God don't have a board. God don't have back alleys in heaven. Everybody lives on main drag. I mean, we're children. If we're children, come on now. If we are children, we've stepped into him. Now I'm a child of God. Well, I'm an heir. An heir? Heir to what? Everything he is. Really? Well, I didn't say that. He did. You're not only a child, but you're a joint heir with him. I mean, if you went to Walmart and you had as much money as Donald Trump, would you shop differently? Well, I go there to buy a loaf of bread or something and come out with $20 worth of stuff I didn't need when I went in. Most everybody comes out with stuff they never intended to buy. But if I go and I have a bank account, glory to God, and it's already been signed by him who owns heaven and earth and all that's on the earth, I'm a joint heir. I'm not talking about in the natural. I'm talking about in the realm of the spirit. Boy, faith begins to rise. Glory to God. You mean the check is already signed? Daddy signed it. Really? You go, that's fictitious. No, it's Bible. We just sometimes skirt over it. Wow, you know, when we get to heaven, I don't want the Lord to go, come here, son. And get over to the Lord and say, you know, You live like a pauper. I'm not talking about financial. I'm spiritual. And you could have lived like a king because you belong to the king. Hallelujah. Let me deal with one more that's a problem to so many people. It's in Hebrews 10:2 there. It talks about the clear conscience. When you stepped into Him, your conscience is clear. God don't want you walking around beat down. Well, you know, people go, you know, I just send salt and thought, word, and deed all day. You really? What name one you done today? Well, you may have to do that, but you don't walk around sinning and thought, word, and deed all day long if you do get saved. I don't mean you can't sin. That just means my conscience is clear. I am not walking around. I'm telling you, none of us have to walk around with this guilt complex about what we used to do back yonder before we got saved. The devil keeps wanting to drag it up. And Jesus said, but you died. You know, when you got saved, you know what happened? God backed up the hearse, loaded you in it, and carried you off and made you a new man. Well, so it is. Now we're outside. We started in Bethlehem. That God's intent was to get us behind the veil of His flesh. Of what He would do in His flesh while He was here. And we would step into it and live out of that relationship. Now, how did all that happen while on the cross? Matthew records it. Others do. 27 of Matthew. He's dying and he said, and he yielded up the spirit. John said, it's finished. Hey, you know when he said it's finished, it wasn't nearly. Come on now. It's a finished salvation. And he would rise again and send the spirit to implement what he finished. But aren't you glad that Matthew records it. Yielded up his spirit. Remember, we started in the Old Testament tabernacle with the veil that separated. And now the veil in the temple, which is the stationary tabernacle, if you will. Guess what happened to the veil? God tore it from the top to the bottom. It didn't start at the bottom. Started at the top and God ripped it open. And the veil is gone. And there is the Holy of Holies and the divine presence of Almighty God and all that God is. And God said, welcome. Through my Son, you're welcome to everything I am. I want to be your Father. I want to live in you and have you live in me. Wow, what a Christmas story. Behind the veil of His flesh. There's a song that, and Andrew, thank you for being so gracious. I'll tell you, he's full of grace and mercy. There's a song that I thought it would be fitting to just play and let you listen to it. And then give me 30 seconds or a minute or more after the song. And we'll be finished. I think you'll like the song because it puts all of what we said into a song that I can relate to. Andrew, are you about ready, brother? Go for it if you.
Yeah. stand.
Colton's personality is very loving, very
That's too much now, Cinema. Let me take 30 seconds and then I'm finished. That's an incredible song. You heard the gospel in that song. No man, the power of hell cannot take you out of his hand. I know I've said this to you, but it's burning in my heart right now. I remember as a little, about 5-year-old boy, walking across a cotton field. Must have been a warm day because I was barefoot, walking with my father. And if you ever walked across a cotton field that's been, the stalks have been cut, you know the dilemma of a little boy barefoot. You look down and saw my dilemma, my plight. I still remember it. Remember it, Larry. My dad was a farmer. He had strong hands. I remember he reached down like this. And I grabbed his hand. And I swung around and locked my legs around him. And I hugged him like this. And he took me all the way home. The day you got saved, Father went. You grabbed it. And you locked yourself around him and he you. Now you're on the journey home. One day you'll get there. In the meantime, do whatever he tells you to do. Now let me ask you, if he were in the flesh, were to walk into this room and stand here, and he said to you and me, you have something to say, what would you say to him? Let's bow our head for just 15 seconds. Say to him what you would say. Lord, in the days ahead, may we love you more than we ever have. May the revelation of who you are become more real to us. And may the year that's facing us be the year that we know you like we've never known you before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas to you. Pastor, I'm finished, I reckon.
Would you join me in thanking the Lord for this word we've heard tonight? Awesome. We love you, Pastor Doc. That was awesome. Before we go, I do want to remind you that this coming Sunday morning, we will only have one service. No 8 o'clock, no 9 o'clock service. But we'll meet here at 10:30 because we realize a lot of people will be traveling. You can wear your pretty Christmas sweater, your ugly Christmas sweater, but whatever. Just feel free to come. We're going to worship. But thank you so much for this word, Pastor Doc. Next Wednesday night, we will not meet between Christmas and New Year's. Just enjoy your time with family, and then we'll meet this Sunday, as I said. Then the following Sunday, we'll start the new year together in the Lord. I encourage you to harbor this message deep inside your heart. Because the enemy will assail your thoughts from time to time and just run to the cross. Know that he has you. He's got you. He's got you. Lord, we are so grateful tonight for this word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Pastor Doc and his bringing forth what you laid on his heart. We've been blessed. I pray that you would bless each person here and our whole fellowship, Lord, during this Christmas weekend. I know a lot of people will be meeting with friends and family. And some will be missing family who are not there for the first time. And they're especially on our hearts, Lord. Just put your loving arms around them. May they know deeply your presence with them. And we thank you so much that in the fullness of time, you came, Lord Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar's open. If anyone needs prayer, we'll be up here. But thank you for coming tonight. Blessing to you.